This episode is so exciting because it's in a series of episodes that we are creating on the Like Dragons Did They Fight channel that highlights the training and healing for the whole family that life-changing services provides. A lot of people don't know they come to life-changing services with a specific pain or specific need, and then when they get here, they're really grateful for what they found and they get all involved in that program, whether it's worth for wives who are struggling with understanding the fallout of the battles that they're facing in their homes and the choices of their husbands and betrayal trauma is what they're dealing with, or parents who are trying to understand the best way to care for and support a child caught in difficult spots that are hard to understand that make parents feel powerless, or men who have a desire to get to a place of recovery and healing and then become part of the solution to a problem through their healing, and young men doing the same thing before they become men, and then young women. As well, we have programs for young women and we have programs for women. So we have so many things that we offer here at Life Changing Services, but often people only know about the one that they called the office and said, "Hi, I have this mess. Do you have something for that mess?" And we do. We have so many resources here, but kind of an overarching truth in all of those resources is that we promote the principles that are in the Like Dragons Did They Fight book. And a lot of us share from the principles from the 12 lessons in the Eternal Warriors program. It's what they use in the addiction recovery groups. It's the principles that we talk about in Mothers Who Know and Fathers Who Fight. And in the Worth group, and then they're so aware of them as well. And today I have a very warrior-hearted, beautiful gal with me, and I'm so excited for you to meet her. You might have heard her on one of our other podcasts under Life Changing Services. But hello, Amy Wolsey.
Well, hello. So glad to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. Yeah, Amy. You are a coach, and I know we're going to find out so many more things that you do here in Life Changing Services, but I just want everybody to know from the get-go that if you go to lifechangingservices.org and then click on the resources tab, you'll get a drop-down, and in that drop-down, it will show you a coaches page. And so if you want to find Amy after you listen to this and know more from her bio or contact her and just have a question for her, that's where you would find her, is there at lifechangingservices.org. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about you and how you came to find life-changing services and about your family, your interests, things like that.
Yeah, awesome. Man, Heavenly Father is just involved in every detail of our lives. I'll start with that. But so I currently live in Texas, right outside of Austin, Texas. I've lived here for 2 years after I remarried, but I had been married for 18 years and have four amazing, beautiful children. And unfortunately, my husband at the time was battling with his addictions. And all of the that come with that, you name it, it happened. And at some point, I knew that it was time to get out. And so my kids and I actually, we each packed a box and loaded our car and drove from Kentucky to Arizona, where my parents lived. And our journey kind of started there. And anyways, after many years of navigating that, unfortunately, it ended in divorce, but navigating that and navigating single motherhood and all of that fun stuff. I ended up being very fortunate and met an incredible man and remarried. But my passion started through my own healing to really find out more about this plague of pornography and why this affected my life, why it completely, you know, at the time I thought was it ruined my life, but I really wanted to learn more about it. It created a strong desire in me to also help women. I had no idea what was going on for a majority of my marriage, and I was on a mission to find out. I wanted to go back to school for it. Like, I was just gung-ho about finding answers and resources, and going to my bishops and my stake presidents and bugging them about, you know, like, what do you have to help women? Tell me. And, you know, most of the time it was, we have nothing. And I said, okay, let's get to work. So I really have been on this mission to help educate and bring to light what we can do to fight this together and hopefully get rid of that shame. But anyways, in my search, I had come across Life Changing Services website. And as I looked through it, I had not seen anything like this company up until this point of my search. And it just spoke to me so much so that I was on my way to the gym one morning. I couldn't get it off my mind. I really felt like I needed to reach out. And it was kind of brave for me. Like, it was a little bit of a courageous thing to do. And before I even walked in my gym, I pulled over to the side of the road and got out my phone and wrote an email. Sent it to Life Changing Services. And 2 weeks later, Alana Gordon reached out, and a couple conversations between her and I, the spirit was really strong, and we both felt immediate direction to work together and exactly what to start with. So that is how I found it. It was just a search, but I know that it was led by God. I know, because of the principles that are taught. And one of those that we'll be talking about today is the power of teamwork. And so I'm excited to talk about that in a minute. But yeah, being able to mix and combine the principles of the gospel, true principles, along with helping the mind recover, helping the brain recover. I had done a lot of research with a lot of the work that Donald Hilton Jr. has done, and just really understanding the brain and how the brain works. And so it was a beautiful combination of both. And that's what I had been looking for. So to me, it was a no-brainer. I had to reach out. I had to be a part of it. I didn't know what that looked like at the time. I had no idea. I just hit send. I'll let the universe do with it what it may. But it's turned into an incredible journey that I never could have imagined for myself. I mean, you asked me just 5 years ago if I knew I would be doing this, I would have said, yeah, right. So this has been quite a journey. I am, as you said, a life coach now. In the process of being certified through Alana and Luke Gordon, because I also work for their company, Choose Recovery Services, as a life coach. And I am getting ready to go through the mentor process and certification for Eternal Warriors and be a coach there. I started off with putting together a program that we call Worth YSA. And it is I did do a podcast with that, explaining that a little bit. So people want to know more about that, they can go check out that other podcast. But it's been an incredible journey. That was very cool to see how the Lord put that all into place, the curriculum for that. It, you know, it's a lot of the women, the vision that Alana and I had, and then just, you know, where we were coming from, like, gosh, this is information and tools that we wish we would have had before we got married. And so it's been an incredible journey to see these amazing single women, 18 and up, participate in this program. And that's a big passion project for me. So love that. And then I work also with, so I am on the Worth side of, more on the Worth side of Life Changing Services. Like you said, there's different parts of this amazing company, and I'm more over on that side. I also lead the Worth group for early marriage. So women who are in their early marriage years, like 4 years and under, who are also dealing with this. There's different aspects to that, why we kind of separate those. But anyways, I work with those women and they're incredible. So lots of different opportunities to, and then of course, life coaching one-on-one. I do one-on-one coaching with a lot of women. I think my biggest passion, where I feel like I'm the most useful, because of my experience and the life, my life experience, it's helping women who are navigating divorce. and also post-divorce. I think that probably speaks more to my soul to help these women who are finding themselves in this new place. Unexpected, not wanted, not asked for, but are here. And I am so driven to help women stay connected to their covenants and to God and to find themselves again and thrive and give them that hope and tools to know that they can do that. That's probably where my biggest passion is, because we are losing a lot of women in this process. It's very difficult. I can muster up a lot of emotion still to this day, thinking back on how hard that was. And so in my own life, and it's because of my covenants that I made with God and the connection I had with him and leaning on him, and that I honestly contribute to where I'm at today. So that's a little bit, I guess, about me. And if you have any more questions, if I missed anything, just let me know.
Let's see. I know you have, is it three children?
Four.
Four children. Okay. Yeah. What are their age ranges?
Yeah. So my oldest is married, newly married, is 22. And then I have a 20-year-old in college, just rocking it there. And so two girls, and then I have two boys, and they start school tomorrow. Good heavens. And he's a junior in high school. And then I have an eighth grader. So two girls, two boys. And then I have three beautiful stepchildren who are 8, 7, and 5. So we've got quite the range of ages and children.
Wow.
Keeps it lively around here.
Yes. So good.
Good thing my doors lock.
Yeah. You know, I really wish that everybody that because I just admire the passion that you have. And I just think, I just wish that I could get to know you over lunch, not over this podcast. I mean, that would just be so much more fun, because many things you said, I think, totally relate to that, you know, with divorce and a blended family and things like that, betrayal, trauma. There's just so many things that I think women who feel so isolated and without a team actually have a much larger team than they realize. And that, you know, that people are so much more alike than they are different. And one of the things that Life Changing Services highlights is just the spiritual battles that we face against our enemy, Satan, and how important it is to understand, hey, if I don't have some healthy respect for that battle that I fight and that enemy that is so relentless, then this mess that I'm in can be so painful, and it will be so difficult for me to find the strategies that I use through the atonement of Jesus Christ to help me heal if I can't see that enemy. And so one of the tactics that he uses is to keep us isolated and to think there is no team that will understand you, because what you're dealing with is probably more sick than everybody else's mess. What you're dealing with is something you could probably figure out on your own before you reveal it to everybody and they realize what a broken family you have, or what a bad parent or mother or spouse you've been. You know, there's just all this shame that he throws in there to keep us stuck in a dark corner, mm-hmm. not shining any light on it, so that we get all moldy and cobwebby and we can't find any hope or answers or healing. But the Savior, his message is so opposite of that. His message is, come unto me, come learn about me. I got things that will totally make no sense, but once you understand that you can feel joy and peace and hope even in a storm like that, once we're connected and we can shine some light on this and you can come out of that dark corner. So the power of the team is huge. And I am so excited that Amy's going to teach us about the power of a team. Like when she talks to her people that she coaches, talks to the people that she leads and mentors in her worth groups for these young marrieds and in the Worth YSA group, really, I am excited that Maurice Harker has asked that the message of these principles get out in as many voices as we can get them out and teach these principles so that you, as the listener, if you are in a dark corner or you know someone who is, then you'll be able to say, okay, I didn't realize just how I was being held in this darkness by an enemy who just wants to keep me from healing and hope, and that there's a place of answers and there's a place where I can find those answers, and that Life Changing Services probably has a resource for me. And one of the things we teach is the power of a team. So Amy, I'm going to turn the time over to you to just pretend like me and everybody else listening is in your class. Teach us about the power of a team.
All right, awesome. Well, I am going to ask you some questions, but something you said I wanted to just point out and start with is, you know, we're sitting here talking and we don't know who's listening. And if there is someone that is listening who is, like you said, in that feeling like they're in that dark corner alone and they don't know who to go to or who to turn to. And it's scary to think of this team concept, because what you mentioned, the shame that is so associated and that Satan loves to dangle over us to keep us stuck, to keep us from accessing that agency and that power to move forward. And so I think the first thing we need to muster up is humility. It really takes humility to put yourself on a team, because like you said, we have to reach out. That means we have to open our mouth. It means we have to ask for help sometimes. And I think, I mean, just recalling my own experience being divorced, I found myself single, working mom, four kids who were all involved in going different directions, and I could not do it alone. I had to ask for help, and that was really hard. I know a lot of women can relate. It's really difficult to feel like you need help. And I was in a new state, new ward, new people. It was even more difficult to muster up that courage but it took humility to ask for help and create a network of people around me that I knew I could go to. Hey, can you please take my kid to church? Hey, can you please, you know, for youth, can you help me with this? You know, calling up my home teacher and saying, I need you to come over. I need this. And it was a lot, but very quickly, the power of that team, which we'll talk about, is so incredible, and all power from God and light and goodness just swallows up any power that Satan tries to use to overpower us, to squash that. And so, you know, the thought of that, oh yeah, it's going to take humility. It's just for like, I feel like it's just for a brief moment, you know? It's just that little bit of mouth that we need mixed in with some courage, mixed with a little vulnerability. But the power that comes when you do act from Christ and from this concept of a team makes it worth it. And so I definitely had experienced that in my life. But I think the most powerful concept of a team that clicked for me is when my own mentor in Eternal Warriors, Kim, who's amazing, by the way, if you're looking for a mentor, I love Kim. She had me make a list of all the people in my life who were on my team. And that was really powerful to do. It just took a few minutes in silence to make that list. And as I pondered, who are the people that I have in my life? So I would encourage those of you who are listening to really do this activity, just take some time to make that list and who is on my team, who really will be there for me. And of course, besides my biggest supporters, my husband, my kids, and my parents, I really started to think about the people in my life during that, the hardest time, during my divorce, when I was single, working mom, and started thinking of all the beautiful faces that came to mind of those amazing people in Arizona that saved me. But honestly, one experience comes to mind when I was thinking of that, making that list, and it's with my kids and how my kids and I were a pretty amazing team. We had lived, like I said, we moved to Arizona. We lived with my parents for a little while till I got an apartment. So I had a small little apartment that we were all crammed into, everyone sharing a room, sharing bathrooms. And I remember thinking like, oh, we, you know, wanting more space, but I had a distinct impression that this is actually going to benefit us. And hands down, did it ever, because we were crammed into this place, dealing, all of us in our own way, dealing with these very difficult emotions, very difficult feelings. And you couldn't escape. You couldn't go to your room alone. You shared a room. You couldn't spend much time in the bathroom because someone was knocking on the bathroom to get in. So we had to be in each other's face dealing with these hard things. And I am so grateful for that opportunity to utilize that time when we were just in each other's face, feeling these hard emotions to help each other. Rather than, like you mentioned, being isolated, because that's what Satan wants. We all knew when we were struggling. You couldn't hide it. And so we were there for each other. We had talks. We read scriptures. We prayed. We did all those things that we could think of to try and help each other through that hard time as a team. And, you know, for a while, those four, I call them babies, but they're all big. But my four babies we were a team. We had to get through this together. And I see the power in that. In fact, it's so funny because they'll still reminisce about those times in the apartment squished together, you know, and here we have a beautiful house in Texas. Everything in Texas is big. So we have space. Everyone can kind of find their own little corner and have time, but they reminisce and miss about the time that we were all up in each other's grill and having to deal with the hard together as a team. So that came to mind, that experience. And then ward members, you know, that they're got a powerful team in our ward family. I will forever have a place in my heart for my Arizona ward. They rallied big time around my kids and me to be a team and help me. So you've got family, your parents, support groups. I love being a part of these support groups with women and seeing the team effort and the power that can come from women connecting with women and validating our feelings together and sharing tools that have helped, lots, holding a safe place for these tender emotions where you feel like there's no judgment. So I've seen a lot of power in that regard. I am, like I mentioned, fortunate to have a healthy marriage, and I am seeing the power of a husband-wife team for the first time in my life. And it's incredible to know that I've got someone who's got my back, and how we try to navigate this life as parents and just individuals. It's nice to have that as a team. So that was powerful to me, that tool. So I would first recommend that those who are listening to take time and make a list of who's on your team. My mentor, Kim, also encouraged me to ponder those on the other side of the veil as part of our team. And boy, do I have a testimony of that. I've had some very neat experiences with my ancestors, my grandma and my grandpa, and other family on the other side of this veil. Excuse me, who I know are there and fighting this battle with us. And so I definitely have them added to my team. So I think, you know, we've been encouraged by our prophets to do temple work, to do our ancestry work. And I know that that promise they made, that it is, we will be protected. I know that's why, because they are a powerful source on our team. So by doing their work, we're inviting them onto our team. So I love that she reminded me of that concept. So having said that, I again encourage you to make that list. But Karen, I'm going to ask you, as you think about the people on your team, just what are some thoughts that come to your mind?
I guess one thing that comes to my mind is sometimes the people that I assumed would be the people that were on the list of my team, you know, they're just automatically going to be like my family members, my extended family members, or my husband, or, you know, things like that. And those people are part of my team. But if I want a real vulnerable team, like the kind of team that I need to enlist and be enlisted in where they're helping me, I noticed that that was a different list. That I needed to make a list that, you know, because my husband's so great and amazing, but he would not fare very well if I just shared all the things that I needed to verbally process. He would say, could you pick somebody else to be on your team for that part? You know, because even though he doesn't intend to or desire to, it's just a difference between men and women. And it's like, now I'm starting to shut down and I'm not quite sure where this is going. And so I'm starting to guard myself. So I did notice that considering who's on my team took some discernment and some prayer. Who can I reach out to that will allow me to be like you said? I loved what you said about humility, and that, you know, who will allow me that space, because humility is so much about vulnerability, mm-hmm. to say, this is who I really, and this is what it really looks like over here. And then it's just revealed that we are your girls. We're your people, right? We get that, and we can see you right where you are, and we're willing to, you know, stand by you, help you, listen to you, cheer for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you brought that up, because I think, you know, those are all different examples that I have had of who's on my team, different parts of my life. But to be very candid, there was a time in my life where I couldn't put any of those people on my list, not even my children. And it feels very lonely. And there was a time when I wasn't sure I wanted God on my team, to be very honest, dealing with kind of a faith crisis after betrayal. And so allowing God to be on my team, starting there and building that trust, getting Christ on my team and building that trust back, of course, all on my part, right? They've always been there, but I needed to trust again. That was a process, and it took time. And I think that is where I started, is with God and Christ back on my team. And from that point on, then I found I could, you know, add different people in my life to help me through those times. But yeah, I really like that you brought that up, because I think that's really important to consider when you are making your list. Do I have God on there first? And if not, why not? And start that process, start that journey. It's a beautiful journey. There's nothing to fear. He's always going to be there waiting and ready. But enlisting in that journey to get him on your team, I think is a beautiful journey. So yeah. But you know, like we were talking about earlier, Heavenly Father is all about connecting. He wants connections. He wants us to connect with people. And you mentioned, you know, Satan, he wants the opposite. He wants us to disconnect. So I think if you find yourself disconnecting from people, especially from God and the Savior, then it's pretty safe to assume that is Satan's tool. He wants us to be alone, to lose the battles alone. When we're talking about addiction and those who are fighting addiction, you know, and the brain and the chemicals, the dopamine and and oxytocin, especially, right? Oxytocin is that connecting chemical. And those who are struggling addiction get dumps and dumps of that chemical, and they're having to relearn how to just get healthy drips of the chemical rather than unhealthy dumps. And so I find it so fascinating and truth when I did read this book and know why Maurice puts this in here, this concept of teams, because I do think that being on a team when you are struggling with addiction will help you to see what that healthy connection looks like. And you will get those healthy drips of oxytocin, that healthy chemical in a beautiful way. And so I think that is not a coincidence either, that why this is part of the healing process for those who are struggling with addiction, to be a part of a team.
Excellent.
Not to mention learning accountability. I think that those behaviors that we can learn from the influence of a team is accountability. It's hard to be accountable to ourselves sometimes. So I think that helps. And then we've talked about vulnerability and courage. All of those are really amazing behaviors that can come from being part of a team. In that book, Armed with Righteousness, it talks about the importance of not battling alone and how a person will not feel hopeless or afraid of Satan when he remembers God's promise to protect him from every temptation beyond his power to resist and to help him conquer. I think that's really powerful and important to remember.
Yeah, so powerful, so important.
So when you have been on a team, I'm gonna turn it on to you again. When you've experienced that power of a team, what are some behaviors that you found beneficial to help you in your trials that you learned from the team experience?
The behaviors that I learned from people on my team, you mean? Things? Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? Oh, I think first and foremost, there's this feeling of I'm not in the same place as they are, whether they're in front of me on their journey, like a little further ahead in their healing or finding the Savior or really trusting God again and getting to a place of hope or peace again. They're further ahead in that journey, or they're farther behind me. Mm-hmm. And really struggling in a place that maybe I can totally understand, and I get that place, and I can go, like you said, back there really quick and even have tears about it, because that's a real place and it will always be part of my story. So yeah, I have some emotions in that, but mm-hmm. that is, I think, such an incredible power of the team, specifically to a need that you have, but also specifically to our whole eternal family team. You know, when we notice the dynamic of, I am so happy to know that that person who's vulnerable enough to say that that's their mess isn't dead. Because I'm thinking this is going to kill me, you know? Yeah, so you think, oh, so maybe I will be alive in a year. Maybe I will be able to breathe better. Maybe I can be more of a solution person rather than the person who feels like I'm always the mess and needs the help. Because look, they used to be kind of where I'm at. And then it's also so helpful because when I would look behind, I could see how far I'd come because I didn't think I'd come that far. But when I saw someone in the raw trauma, I can barely keep it together, and I'm just happy to be here And I'll just keep my eyes open, but my mouth shut and listen, you know, there's that kind of place. But I think that your courage, it's such a place to build courage, courage to keep moving and courage to notice that, look, I grew and I didn't think I could. I love that about a team.
And the word, I love what you just said, and the word acceptance just keeps coming to my mind. Like everything you just said, and then accepting where you are right now and being okay with where you are right now in your process, in your journey. Because oftentimes I have seen that a little bit in groups where there's women in there who are farther ahead of the journey, and it can create that sense of insecurity and self-doubt in women who see those that are farther ahead. And so I think, so that word acceptance and just being okay with where you are without judgment, having compassion on yourself with where you are right now, knowing you're doing your best. I know people listening to this podcast, people who are part of these programs, everyone's doing their best with what, you know, they know. And so we can let go of that judgment, those comparisons, all those things that Satan loves to throw at us to deter us and distract us and, you know, remove ourselves from the team. You know, I know there's lots of women who struggle every time they go to click on that Zoom link to join their group. There's that part of them that I think doesn't want to go for whatever reason. And I know that is a battle to get on and be a part of that team once again. But they do. They click on every week. Mm-hmm. And you see them grow and learn a little bit more every time and become more and more empowered. But being okay with where you're at right now in your journey, knowing that you're doing your best, knowing that you really are moving forward. And so I love that you brought up that looking to the past, looking where you were, remembering that word, remember. So important, right? That's that one word that breaks up that pride cycle of the Nephites. It's that remembering mm-hmm. where God carried you, remembering where you came from and how far, I think, is what keeps you moving forward. So I love that you brought that up. Yeah. That's really, really so powerful.
Mm-hmm. I do think too, some people can't even begin to heal until they can see other people can look at them in their mess and accept that, because it's become such a lie that's become true in their belief system. They just really truly believe, if someone could really see me in this mess, they won't want me, they won't want to be my friend, they'll judge me, they won't understand, and how could I ever show this to anybody? And so that's another thing about the acceptance piece of really being kind to ourselves and giving ourselves the care we need to know that accepting ourselves right where we are mm-hmm. is what allows us to take the new steps forward, because we really can't get where we want to be unless we can see where we're at.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's just such a huge thing though. Such a healing thing for someone to just say, I see you. Because if you are in that place where you don't think people could stand to look there and accept you, mm-hmm. then you fear people seeing you. But it's also the thing you want more than anything, is for someone to just see me, just really see me. Yeah. And sometimes I've noticed people can't find God and tell other people who aren't God can say, I see you. Then it gives them some hope that maybe I am being deceived. Maybe God is really seeing me. Mm-hmm.
Well, where I find truth in that statement is because I think, well, so what happens is we all have those negative emotions that we tend to go to quickly. We all fall to worry or self-doubt or fear or confusion. All of these emotions that we like to go to that are easy, but they keep us stuck. These emotions that we sit in are emotions that they're negative. We can feel them. And like you said, accepting them. And it's scary when we're feeling those emotions to have other people see us in those negative emotions. But again, I think that's the beauty of the team. So when you're in that worry, you know, worry does nothing for the future. We love worry. It's such an indulgent emotion, because we think that if we indulge in that and we worry, that we're somehow going to prevent pain in the future. But all it does is give you pain in the present, and it takes you out of the present. So again, going to this principle of agency and power, we always want to try and live in the moment, in the present, because that's where we have our agency. That's where we have accountability. That's where we can make our choices and choose to feel differently. But I love your point, and I try really hard to get women especially to be okay with that negative emotion, because we want to resist it. And even resisting is not acting. We're not acting in power when we're resisting. So accepting and being and allowing people to see us in that, I think, is what gives us that power to come to the present and then make a choice to move forward in whatever direction we feel. And a team gives us that opportunity, just like you said, allowing people in to see you in that vulnerable negative emotion and sitting in it. And at that point, I think when, like you said, when you can, okay, I'm okay. They're not rejecting me. I'm still okay. Even though I'm feeling this negative emotion, it then ignites that power within and that ability to be an agent who acts and choose differently when you're ready. But that comes from a team. So.
Oh, thank you. I feel like myself and the people listening to our episode have been just edified, because even though I know the power of a team, I think as long as you're human, until you're safely dead, you're going to feel vulnerable when you have to, you know, tell your story again or help somebody who you know needs your help, but it's going to require some vulnerability to help them, or, you know, whatever that looks like. But I just am so appreciative, Amy, of you being here and sharing what you shared. So powerful. And I just want to invite everybody to just consider the courage, the humility, and the truth that comes to us in a team. And to know that that's one of the strong, powerful principles that we teach here. It's actually a lesson. It's part of our curriculum. The power of a team is huge, and it's one of the ways that we are successful winning our battles with the adversary. So, Amy, thanks so much for being here. I'm going to have you on another episode, and I think we're just, even though we don't work right side by side, I want to be on your team.
I feel the same way. Like I told her before we started recording, I've been listening to you and feel like I know you, and so you have been on mine, whether you know it or not. So. Cool. It's been a pleasure. Thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity. I'll come back anytime.
Yeah. Thank you so much.